My guest today is One Trick Pony. One Trick Pony is one of the bands that's going to be performing for us at the Echo Benefit on January 18th. We'll have more information for you on that in a bit. But right now, let's just focus on the music. I'm going to have a play track for you from their new CD. Then we'll do introductions and some live stuff. And, well, you know how it goes. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Not sure where to bring the mics up there. It's a nice, quiet exit of the train. My guest is One Trick Pony. How's it going, everybody?
Hello.
What up?
So let's just start with the basics. Who are you and what do you play?
I'm Randy. I sing and I play guitar.
I'm Jen and I play the box and keyboards.
I'm Morgan and I play the four-string fiddlestick, also the bass.
Jen, tell me what you mean by you play the box.
It's actually just a cardboard box that we just kind of use with jazz brushes and a kick pedal.
And is that what you guys use when you play out live and in clubs and everything?
Yeah, that's what we use.
Yeah, so, it's different variations. Sometimes, I mean, we'll have full drum set, but you know, we we'll go back and forth. Like when at our show that for you guys, we're gonna have full drums, then like box song we're gonna do on the box actually.
Oh, is that? I guess that's probably where the name of box song comes from.
Yeah, that's the first song we did on a box, and like it kind of came out of necessity. We had another drummer named Josh. He left the band. He moved back to Pennsylvania, but we were just, when I showed him the song, we just happened to have a cardboard box in the room, and he had some jazz brushes, and he just to like try to figure out a beat for it, and we were like, wow, actually it sounds great, so let's just keep it that way instead of going to drums.
Well, I want to talk to each of you about how you found your instruments and how you ended up together in One Trick Pony, but why don't we jump into a live song first, because I know the audience is dying for it. What are you going to play for us first?
This song is called Spinning Movies. It's off our new album, Phantom Pains.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is One Trick Pony.
And laughed like no time had passed. Kiss came thick, sip your drink, smile through the glass. Cigarette lit, hair dark in the night to match. Got up to leave, you grabbed my hand, you pulled me back. Memories every night, like a fading picture, it yellows and blurs and turns into a haze. I'm losing all those days when you used to be there. You used to be there.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is One Trick Pony. Guys, thanks for coming in. That was awesome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Randy, is this a collaborative process, or is this a band where it's, you know, a front man and the backup band? Is there one person who primarily writes all the songs? How does that work?
I pretty much write everything for now, but a lot of it is just because we've had so many changes, you know, in the band, and that we kind of have to, like, do it on the fly. And Morgan came in the most recent, probably, like last year, maybe. Yeah, about a year. And, like, mostly just because of our schedule of playing and stuff and recording, that mostly he's just trying to catch up. And then we're going to get to the point where we can, like, actually sit down and write stuff. And, he'll write his parts and, help with the arranging of songs I've already written, usually. You know, just because it's been, like, we'll have dates that we, like, we'll lose our drummer and I have to play the show by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, like, I kind of just have to get it together how we can now. Jen is our manager, actually, and she had to switch to drums. We lost our drummer. And now we got a drummer, and she's going to move to keys. So it's kind of like we're just moving so fast, and everything's like going quicker than we can like catch up with. So it's a constantly
evolving process.
Yeah. So it's like easier to just be like, okay, I have these songs. Let's get this together because we have shows before we even have a band. So it's like, all right, let's go. You know, we went on tour with the Stereo. Actually, like we did like a short tour, and we were just kind of like, okay, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have to like put it together now. So I have songs, blah blah blah. Let's go work around that. So,
did it all just start though with you and your guitar and sort of, you know, then you discovered that you needed to fill out the sound by finding people to play with and make a band out of it as opposed to making it a solo act?
It's been like so many different parts. Actually, One Trick Pony started at Musicians Institute with me, a guy named Glenn and a guy named Jason. Jason bass, Glenn drums, and I kind of wrote with them. Then they bailed. They, you know, did their own thing, but that was kind of like the best that could happen to me, because before it was kind of like a band, a collaborative process, but the songwriting was kind of weak. So then when I had to do it myself and I still had like obligations without a band, so I was like, wow, these songs don't really stand up without a band. So I had to just rewrite and get the writing really solid. So then after that, it was like, well, now they're just solid songs with or without. And it's just an added, you know, bonus, like, to now to have a band, I can, like, direct, you know, more easily. And, like, there's more of a central theme. Mm-hmm. So now there's something they can, like, fit into and add to, you know, something that's already there.
Jen, how did you find yourself managing this ever-changing band?
Well, Musician Institute is kind of what keeps us all together. I actually met Randy, when I just started at Musicians Institute. I saw him play on like a Friday night, and I was looking for a band that I really wanted to kind of work with, and saw him play with One Trick Pony and just knew that I wanted to work with him. So I had a friend, mutual friend that knew him, so kind of got connected that way, and it's been about 2 years or so.
Yeah.
We've been working together, so.
What does management entail?
Basically everything besides playing. So
and now playing.
And now playing. So like marketing, I mean, contracts, just everything that besides playing.
Is there any one thing about managing a band that you would say is the hardest thing?
It's very much a relationship. Randy and I have kind of already discussed that, you know. I don't know. There's just so much to it.
She is so opposite me. Like, she's so organized, and like just the day to day logistics of getting things together, of like calling places and, you know, actually talking to people about booking shows and everything, like that I am clueless about and pretty unprofessional, and like, she is like the professional face of One Trick Pony. Like, she's who talks to people. She deals with the money and all, and like stuff that if it was left up to me, we would be down in flames.
Is that hard for you, sort of looking at the business of music? Are you do you tend to focus more on, you know, you just run them right and perform songs and hopefully things will fall into place. Do you find that you really need someone to manage you and keep it organized?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And yeah, because I mean, it gets overwhelming after a while, you know, you're like, well, there's only so many hours in the day. What am I going to, you know, devote it to, like developing new songs, you know, getting things how I want them, or, you know, I don't know, just dealing with the other stuff that is almost, it's, I won't say more important, but like, if you want to be heard, it's, more, you can write great songs, and if you don't, you know, do your business right, no one's going to hear it anyway. So,
you guys have a new CD, right? Is this your debut release?
Yeah, Phantom Pains. It's going to be released very shortly. We're just deciding on the date. Within the next.
And have you guys been sort of working towards making this CD from the time you started playing together?
Yeah, it's been a long process. And trying to get it finished.
Yeah, if any, like, I guess our band, if anything, is kind of just, oh, it's always been like a hodgepodge of different components. So like even the album itself, there's Morgan plays bass on some songs, I play bass on some songs, we had a violinist who played through a pedal that dropped bass, you know. So like every, there's our old drummer played, Jen plays on drums, like it's just, and it's been going on for a year and a half, probably a good year and a half, that we've been, we from the starting of the recording to like just finishing it now.
Now, Morgan, what was your experience sort of coming into this band, you know, seeing this guy? He already had this sort of idea of what he wanted to do, and how did you find yourself in One Trick Pony?
Well, I was really good friends with the drummer at the time, Josh. We were doing a couple other musical projects, and he told me about One Trick Pony and told me they were looking for a bass player, but the way he described the band was nothing what the band sounded like.
How did they describe it?
He was like, well, it's kind of like, you know, alternative Foo Fighters, I guess, but I was like, oh, I don't know. But it was just his, you know, he didn't know how to describe it, because I feel One Trick Pony doesn't really have a describable sound. It's pretty unique. Mm-hmm. But I saw them, and I was just like, dude, I am so down with this band.
He denied us first.
Oh, yeah?
Actually, I think I did. Well, because I hadn't heard them yet, and so I was like, well, I don't know. I was doing, like, four or five other bands at the time, something ridiculous.
And Foo Fighters wasn't, like, a good selling point.
Yeah. But then Randy and I started hanging out, and we soon found out that we had a lot of common interests, like Henry Miller, Nina Simone, and Red Wine. And that combination, we would just go off for hours, so I think we all just really clicked, and you know, it was just musically and intellectually and just, you know, socially or whatever, we just all like were on the same level. So
what did you like about the music the first time you heard it?
Just the style, the sound. It was real, like, it was simple but groovy and just like, not, you know, it was just, oh, it was just really unique. I just really liked the style, Randy's style. His voice, I think, is just the first thing that catches a lot of people's ear. It's real soulful and real, like, kind of gritty but real smooth and, you know, soulful. So, and just, you know, the style of music, and just, you know, just, it was different, and I just like different and anything progressive and creative.
Randy, about your singing, we've spoken before, and when you were here on Monday promoting the Kill Radio benefit on the 18th, that you're going to play at, along with a lot of other great bands from the Central Second Collective.
Smooth plug, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. So you should come there. It's only $5.
I'll check it out.
But you had mentioned to me that, you know, you kind of fell into singing. Almost, you know, you were kind of thrown into it, and share that story one more time, because I think it's an interesting one.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, I mean, I honestly never sang. I don't come from a musical family or anything. It just came out of nowhere. When we started the band, it was more just like, I just wanted to be a guitarist. I just wanted to kind of jam and just, I don't know. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. And then when we named the band, we kind of felt like, okay, now this is something we want to pursue. And we had another guitarist at the time, and we were just like, seriously, like, well, who's going to sing? And both of us, it was kind of one of those things, like, me and the guitarist, like, I don't care. I mean, you can sing if you want. And then I said that, and then the other guitarist was like, yeah, I'll sing. I was like, well, if he sings, then I'm going to lose control of this band. So I rushed to write the first song. And it was, yeah. And
did you have any idea what kind of voice you had? I mean, surely you must have been, you know, sung in the car in traffic or something.
Yeah, well, when I first started, like, I was pretty much ripped Jeff Buckley off a lot.
Uh-huh.
And and that's who I was listening to. That's the first person who made me listen to voices instead of guitar. Like, I only listened to, like, Jimi Hendrix and just any guitar based stuff. So then I heard Jeff Buckley, and I was like, whoa, I can't make anything this gorgeous if I don't start singing. So I started doing that, and I don't know, like, the one thing I learned is that you can, if you work on it, like, I had to work on my voice a lot, and I had to actually do a lot of, you know, like warm up things and drills and stuff like that. Because when I first started, it wasn't that great. It's actually
well, I was actually
pretty,
just gonna ask you, like, how do you think it's changed since you started singing?
I mean, if you've never like sang before, when I first started, I really didn't know my instrument. I guess you know my vocal instrument. So like, I really didn't know what it could do or how to do that. So it was pretty weak and it was distinct, I guess, but out of its weakness. And then after, yeah, and so I just had to like really like practice like I did guitar. You know, I would get up every morning and, you know, go up and down the scales and, you know, the same type of approach that I took for guitar, I took for that. And then after a while, we'll play some of our older stuff. And like, I really wasn't happy with my voice then. And you'll see, it was just like, I don't know, the tone of it and everything, just like you're not happy with the tone of a certain guitar. I wasn't happy with the tone of that. So like, I really had to like take a like a analytical approach to it, which I usually I think people think that it just comes out of you, you know, like you either have a voice or you don't. And I really think anybody can sing well. It's just like working on it.
Do you think that's one of the things you want the band to be known for is your voice? You know, like when you think about like a band like Radiohead, like, you know, Tom York's voice is one of the things that you really, whenever you think about that band, you think about him because he has this very unique style of singing.
I think it's inevitable since like the voice is so prominent in our music, but I don't want it to be like Jeff Buckley, where it's like, wow, this great voice, and
but then,
you know,
they're not really listening to the rest
of
it.
Yeah, it's
kind of
cool. Yeah, and I don't want to fall into that. I'd rather it be known for like song, you know, the songs themselves and the lyrics and what, you know, the album as a whole is trying to say and what, you know. Yeah, the musicality of it, probably.
Well, can we listen to a track from the album?
Yeah, of course.
What do you recommend? I have one version of the album in the CD player, and I think you guys brought another one.
Well, no, this is older stuff. Like,
well, anything. What do you want to play?
I don't know. I guess like we'll play stuff that we're not going to play live. So maybe.
Silver Cell Phone. Or we're going to play that one, right?
No. Oh yeah. So here's Silver Cell Phone. Yeah. It's number five.
We certainly hope so.
This is the one song that features me on bass.
Oh yeah. This is Morgan on bass, and it's freaking awesome. This is like really early when we like Morgan was like pretty new in the band, and like
and Josh came out
with this bass line was awesome. It was great.
Yeah.
All right, cool. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is One Trick Pony.
Sending you this sickness through a silver cell phone, and your voice is thin and brittle like a thousand pigeon bones, and we can talk this way for hours, still end up alone in a crowd. Well, you're the queen of moaning, we're about to be dethroned, cause I'm the king of disappointment. Eggshell kingdoms where I roam, full of people, cattle, steeples, battles. I still end up alone in a crowd. So quick to send your troops to aid in my relief, cause I'm in tune with the vibration, ever buzzing grief that runs right through every one of us, underneath the streets of our town. That makes us wanna touch someone so bad, our fingers turn to knives, and when we reach for the embrace, take each other's lives, and our hearts are bloody hand grenades. Blow its broken bits in the crowd. We're crying loud.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org with One Trick Pony. So, Randy, what was, describe for me if you can, sort of your earliest musical moments, like when it first occurred to you that you're like, oh, I think I want to write songs.
The songwriting part, like, that's really, you know, pretty recent. I moved out here in 2002. Yeah, 2002. And I moved here to go to Musicians Institute. And up to that point, I was just like a guitarist, and I wanted to be a guitarist. And not even very good, probably, but... Yeah, so...
Why guitar?
I don't know. I started, like, my senior in high school, probably. You know, late. Everything was pretty... I started pretty late doing everything. And, you know, I just picked it up, got really into, like, blues and stuff like that. And then, I don't know. I just didn't want to be a teacher, which is what I went to college for. And I was like, I want to be a guitarist somehow. So I found the school. I went out there. And actually, what got me to songwriting is the kind of, like, disillusionment with that school. Not that it's bad. I'm glad I went there. I learned a lot of theory, and that's, you know, and it definitely, I couldn't write what I do without the theory that I learned, but everyone there was just such like a technician, and like, I want to be the fastest shredder on the block and all this stuff. And I was like, this has nothing to do with any songs that I love, you know? And I got way more into just the whole song instead of like guitar solos or, you know, time signatures or this and that. So
yeah, it's just funny, you hear that a lot from a lot of musicians, that sort of learning the technique of making music kind of push them in an opposite direction that they planned on going in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, completely doing exactly opposite of what I thought I would be doing. So,
and Jen, what about you? How did you find yourself being interested in music in the first place? Or what I like to ask people is, what went wrong in your life that made you want to go into music?
I've always played music since I was about 8 or so, just kind of taught myself piano and just a bunch of different instruments, and just kind of went from there. So it's in my blood, just playing it, doing it forever. So
and then how did you go from piano to percussion?
It was always the most interesting to me because it seemed the most difficult. So I actually just kind of taught myself playing, like, actually, because I didn't have a drum set, just drumming on like my knees, and I would get lots of bruises, but I definitely learned just playing. So I played, you know, everything that I could get my hands on: clarinet, trumpet, harmonica, anything. So
was it difficult for you to make that decision to be in the band, having, you know, knowing the band so well, understanding the music so well, and promoting it already? Were you hesitant at first to get literally in the band?
Well, our previous drummer, Josh, he was kind of big shoes to fill. So I was, you know, hesitant just because I don't think I could have, like, compared to his playing. But I know that I definitely have a different style. And, you know, we had to do what we had to do. So just got to step up to it. And, you know, I did what I did.
It worked.
Definitely. Well, Morgan, tell me about finding the bass. It's one of those instruments that's always like a subject of discussion in music, because there are people who see it as an essential part of the band, that, you know, you really can't have a band without the bass. It, you know, and then there's also that feeling that the bass also can't really survive on its own. Like, nobody gets up on a stage by themselves and sings a song while playing the bass. How do you relate to your instrument?
I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things. I'm 6'4" and 165, and kind of resemble the bass a little bit. So I think it was just kind of meant
to
be kind of thing.
It looks just like me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I started playing like guitar when I was like 12, and I come from a pretty creative family. My dad used to work at Capitol with the Beatles, and so we have always heard, you know, crazy good bass lines and just good music. And I just remember people being like, "Oh, guitar's cool, but you should pick up the bass." And I think I listened to Primus one day and was like, heard Les Claypool play, and was like, "Oh, that's dope. I want to do that."
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's one of those things that I think was meant to be. It's 4 strings, but it's the funnest thing to play.
Now, you've played in a bunch of different bands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I grew up playing punk rock, so I played punk rock bands, you know, jam bands. But I think when I went to MI, I kind of wanted to learn more, like, Latin and jazz and stuff like that, just, you know, because kind of like Randy was talking about, it's shredding is one thing, but making music is another thing. So I think it was more just a way to just get all influences and just be able to make good music. Which is why I like this band.
Yeah, how is it different playing with this band? What are some of the responsibilities as the bass player playing for this kind of band as opposed to playing in a punk band?
I think the key about this band is subtleties. This band is really about subtleties, I think, lyrically and musically. And so I think, especially as a bass player, one thing that's really important is knowing when to hold back and just be, you know, chill and just be, like, subtle. Like, we do some bossa nova covers or some bossa nova songs, and that's just really about just, like, chill, subtle, like, 1/5 beat. But there's other songs like Silver Cell Phone, which you just played, where you get to rock out a little bit. So I think it's just all about, you know, having a good ear and listening to everybody else and just knowing your instrument, just like any other instrument, whether you're drums, guitar, whatever, you know, knowing how it relates. Just like in life.
Are you guys ready to jump into another live song?
Sure.
What are you going to play first now?
We're going to play a song off the new album called Machines Night Out.
All right, this is One Trick Pony. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, isgoodmusic.com. My guest is One Trick Pony. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Let's talk about playing live. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of making it, you know, especially with the independent rock music. You can't just put together a CD and send it out and hope that everyone will buy it.
Yeah.
What was like the first time in this current formation of One Trick Pony that you guys went up on a stage?
Honestly, like, our band is way more live oriented than recording. Recording is like the unknown, you know, great beyond for us. Like, when we got together, like, let's see, when us three, let's see, when we played together, what was it, the first?
Something, yeah.
Yeah, probably at Tangier. We played at Tangier, and which is awesome for that, especially that setup. Like, Jen, you know, Jen playing box, like, it definitely makes us redo our songs so that we, you know, and strip down, which is it's actually, like, the first time I started making music, or we started making music that, like, I would probably listen to myself. I was like, this is awesome. This is, like, it's not just, like, straight ahead rock, blah, blah, blah. We had to, like, pay attention to dynamics, you know? And it's way more natural for us to play live than to, like, get in the studio. The studio was a lot harder. And we're all from just how we do things. It's kind of on the fly, and it's kind of like we have to play as we go. So, like, it's live is not that big of a deal. It's actually kind of like what we look forward to. We feel really natural doing it.
Nice. Do you really care about, like, how important is venue? And you know, the kind of audience that you're playing for. Have you guys ever had to play, you know, like, after a heavy metal band or something like that?
We've done that several times.
Yeah.
On tour.
Is it nerve-wracking, or do you just kind of put it out of mind and just do your thing?
No, I think we've kind of gotten used to playing, since we've played so much and mm-hmm. so many different environments, that we just kind of take it in stride, so.
It's nerve-wracking for me sometimes when I feel like it's a hostile audience where it's, you know, not exactly what you would have chosen to play in front of. But, like, we've been playing more and we've been making more connections where we get to play where we want to play instead of mm-hmm. where we just end up. So it's a lot better. Like, we'll play places that, you know, they know who they came to see, and, you know, they're ready for our style instead of, like, yeah, like she said, when we went on tour, like, we played, like, at, I think it was in
Pomona,
yeah, and like some, like, lame death metal. Not that death metal is lame, if anybody's, like, you know.
But they were.
Yeah.
just lost my death metal crowd.
They were bad. No, but I mean, no. I mean, death metal is good, but they weren't good at mm-hmm. doing death metal. And it just wasn't good at all. It was bad.
It's a tough act to follow.
Yeah, yeah. And their crowd thought we were the worst thing that's ever been on the fucking stage. So,
what about the opposite of that? I mean, do you ever have people come up to you after a show and tell you, you know, I really responded to your music, and if so, what do you think they're responding to specifically? Is it the lyrics, or is it the sound?
I think that when people come up to us and, you know, give us, you know, great compliments about, you know, how they felt, I think that they sense that we are, we're not, like, searching for a certain style or anything. Like, we have songs that we, you know, that we believe in, stuff that we like to do. And, like, it's like, I don't know, we're all like listeners of music. We're not going for a certain, you know, we don't look like, you just see us on the street. We don't look like, hey, that's a emo band or that's a punk band or whatever. Like,
right.
We're just playing music. And I think people sense that, you know, the kind of, like, sincerity.
Is there a like a showman part of your live act? I mean, not that you guys wear costumes or fireworks or anything like that. But.
We definitely are big into pyrotechnics. We all have, like, sequin suits that we wear.
Yeah, I like that. I think there's, you know, bands that dress up and stuff, you know, it's cool if they sound cool. Like, you know, I love watching bands. If they rock out and they rip and they dress the part and they're all showboating it, that's cool. I'm down with that. You know, it's cool.
But
you
otherwise,
know?
It's like they're overcompensating, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think playing live, part of it is putting on a show, you know. I mean, it's cool. Like, sometimes you watch a band that sounds so good, but they're just standing still, strumming their instruments. It's like, I'm rocking out harder than they are. It's like, you know, you got to have some energy.
Right.
It's kind of a give and take, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's a big part of playing live, so. Kind of move around a little bit, get the crowd grooving, make eye contact, you know, especially to the ladies. Hello.
Yeah.
Now,
Jen's all about that.
Yeah.
When it comes to recording, There's a lot of things you can do in a recording that you can't do in a live act. Mm-hmm. And just from listening to some of your music, even the music that we played today, there's been – you can hear other things like sampled sounds. Tell me a little bit about using those as instruments.
Yeah. What we did in the studio, definitely there are things that like I'll play shows completely by myself. And I've never felt like a pressure to like, okay, what did I do on there? It's as far as I'm concerned, like different versions, you know, this is one version, blah, blah, blah. And like when we do full out shows, which like we're going to do for this one, we're going to have, full drums, full bass, the sampling sounds, I am going to do that, like when I do that live and I have done it, it's still pretty ghetto. It's not, there's no, actual computer or anything on stage. Like I'm going to play that loop and I play it through my, that train loop, I think is what you're talking about. I'm going to play it through like the guitar. Like there's speakers on stage, like, and I just put my guitar up to it and it runs through the mic and just kind of like, it's still, we want it to, even if that is kind of like a high tech, I don't know, like it's not, it's not just like banging on a drum or something like that. It is playing some little instrument. I still want to do it in a part where it's like organic and it is a sound that you have to like, adjust while you're playing and on stage and blah, blah, blah. And I think it's exciting to have to recreate the things that are on the album. And we still we have to figure that out, and that's what's good. We have like a keyboard and we'll have to like, it might not be exactly the same, but that's kind of, I like that about bands when you see them live and it's different. They just have to like make do with what they did,
Why don't we do another live song, and then we'll talk about the Central Second Collective and the Kill Radio benefit you guys are going to play on Thursday.
This song is actually, we're actually going to do a cover of somebody that we love Bossa Nova, and that's a big influence in our band. Like that's, we all have different like tastes in music, but like this one thing that we all like agree upon, that Bossa Nova is huge, and Estrujo Gilberto is like huge in Bossa Nova, and that's, what we like, so.
Nice. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is One Trick Pony.
We both are lost and alone in the world. Walk with me in the gentle rain. Don't be afraid. A hand for your hand, and I will be your love for a while. I feel your tears as they fall on my cheek. They are warm like the gentle rain. Come, little one, guide me in the world, and our love will be sweet, very sweet. Gentle rain, like the gentle rain.
So what is it about Bossa Nova music that you all agree is awesome?
I don't know why we all like it, but I have my reason. I don't know. I've loved Bossa Nova just because it's like the dichotomy of like just horrible things going on in the world, and that music is like, it's so relaxed and beautiful over even like in the like in Brazil where it's, you know, where it was originated, horrible stuff going on and like
a lot of poverty and political strife and violence. Terrible.
And it's like completely oblivious to it. And I've always just been attracted to such like huge, you know, contrast and terrible, awful violence or whatever, and beautiful, just serene, surreal music, you know? And
is that the kind of stuff that you think about in your own writing?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely in, like, with my voice, where I sometimes get afraid. I'm afraid that people are going to, like, concentrate so much on the voice, like, oh, it's pretty and soft, blah, blah, blah. But, there's always something below the surface that I want to get across. It's like, you know, yeah, that dichotomy, that's the biggest thing I got from, you know, Bossa Nova, and that's why I'm so attracted to it. I mean, and plus it's just beautiful music to me.
What is the Central Second Collective?
The Central Second Collective is a group of bands, all like-minded, if not like, you know, sonically. That you know, we all sound differently, but we all have like just a belief that, you know, you can do it yourself. You can, you know, make music yourself. You don't have to compromise by like, you know, trying to like sell yourself to a label or whatever. Not that, you know, labels are bad, and you know, if you give me money, I'll make music. But I still want it to be my music. And I think that we're just in a huge city like LA, we just band together and try to help each other out and make sure that we can, you know, get venues and put on shows that are for other people like us who just want to hear good original music, indie music, that's, you know, sincere and, you know, from the heart. So that's it.
I've had a chance to speak to you about the Central Second, but I actually haven't had a chance to speak to Morgan or Jen about it. What was going through your guys' heads when this idea came up of joining a collective of bands and sort of cooperating with other bands to serve a group idea?
I think it's something that in this town is much needed. I mean, this town is such a competitive vibe in a sense because it's so oversaturated. And I lived in the Bay Area before I moved down here, and there's such a communal aspect within the bands. I think up there, like, bands would put shows together, and we'd all work together, and it was real communal where I came down here, and it was such a kind of jading experience. And so when I got into One Trick Pony and the whole Central Second thing came about, I think it's such a great idea. I think it's more benefit for people and bands to work together than be competing to get into the Viper Room and Key Club on the Sunset Strip. You know, I think that's why we're playing at the Echo on the complete opposite side of that town.
You mentioned the same band, the same venues, like fucking shat upon this time.
That's funny.
But, you know, I mean, those venues serve their purpose. I've seen some good bands there. But, yeah, it's just all about having, I think we need a communal aspect. And I think it's great because all the bands in the collective are quite unique and quite different. So I think it's a much needed and much beneficial. I think it's been beneficial to all the bands so far. I don't know, Jen.
I agree with Morgan. I mean, you know, it's family, so it's definitely nice to be able to promote and just kind of make decisions as a group that are all beneficial to everybody. So it's nice.
It's a cool kids club.
It's a cool kids club, and all the bands are great that are on it too. So,
well, for those of you who don't already know, the Central Second bands, well, five of them anyway: the Transmissions, Death to Anders, Anchors for Architects, Die Rockers Die, and of course, One Trick Pony. Are all going to be playing at the Echo for a Kill Radio benefit concert. The Echo is 1822 West Sunset Boulevard in Echo Park. It's 18 and over. It's a $5 cover. That's $5 for five bands, which is awesome. And the show starts at 8:30. So that's coming up this Thursday. You guys are probably pretty amped for it, huh? Cause it's going to be a big show.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
and it's also the timing isn't bad either because you guys have this new CD that you're, you know, working on creating a buzz for.
Definitely, yeah.
And remind me again when the CD comes out.
We're still deciding on the date. It would hopefully be out, if not late this month, maybe early next month.
Valentine's Day would be a good release.
Maybe Valentine's Day.
And then are you going to follow up the release of the CD with a tour or a bunch of shows or anything like that?
Yeah, we want to, like, as soon as we release, we're going to, you know, try to hit the ground running and just book. Like, we've been kind of holding back recently, just trying to get it finished. So as soon as it's done, we're going to just play as many shows as we can. Just get it out there, push it as much as we can, and yeah, try to, you know, book some tour dates.
And then what do you do with the CD? Like, once it's finished and you say, okay, and you have a big party and congratulate each other, and then you say, okay, it's released, but then what do you actually do to get it out there? Like, do you get in iTunes and Amoeba?
Yeah, iTunes is going to be huge for us.
We've got online distribution.
Yeah.
So pretty excited about that. So it's going to be distributed worldwide that way through Plug Research.
Yeah, Plug Research Records is awesome label, actually, and we got distribution digitally, like she said, through them. So, I mean, obviously, it's not even the wave of the future. It's now, you know, online is, like, how you get your stuff out there, especially, you know, bands like us who, you know, we're not on a huge label that is going to, you know, fly us around or do whatever.
Right, not yet.
And no billboards with us on it just yet, but definitely, like, online, we have people who are, like, waiting for it, and that's awesome for me. I'm happy with that.
Well, cool. Let's listen to some more music off a CD. Anything you want to play?
Sure.
Either new stuff, old stuff, whatever.
Well, how about, yeah, this is, okay, yeah, all right, A Little Pack, it's number six? Yeah, number six.
This is my favorite song.
Are you sure it's number four? Oh, no, okay, it's number four, sorry.
Yeah, all right. If we're wrong, we can always fix it in the mix.
Little Packet.
That's the thing about online radio. All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guess is One Trick Pony. Stick around.
Yeah.
Heavy-hearted sighs, and there's that look in your eyes, cracks me wide open. Strangers at bedsides, and there's that death in your gaze. These are final days together. Guess as good as mine, we're all here hanging to a line. Little packets of disappointment letting you know you're still alone, and it hurts every time. Wish I was the one. Disappointment. Little packets of disappointment.
We're back on Is Good on KillRadio.org, and we're talking about blacking out and not doing it so much anymore. It's been a long and tumultuous journey for us all. You're listening to a special Sunday edition of Is Good. This episode with One Trick Pony will be downloadable tomorrow. Just drop by isgoodmusic.com to check it out. And again, one more reminder, this Thursday, January 18th at the Echo is a Kill Radio benefit concert featuring the bands of the Central Second, which includes my guest right now, One Trick Pony. I say we just jump into another live song right now.
Sure.
What do you recommend?
The song is called Eater of Hearts.
You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. This is One Trick Pony.
Consumer now, an eater of hearts. And there's no joy, that's where it starts. Gotta get it somehow, an eater of hearts. In the latent hour, before the fangs reveal, it's a beautiful night to be with you. I love everything at first and nothing after a while. There's nothing worse then falling through. Oh, 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 fall through you. There's no joy, that's where it starts. You're a predator now, an eater of hearts. There's no joy to shopping carts. You're a consumer now, an eater of hearts.
So this is a question for all of you, and you better all have the same answer. How far do you plan to go with One Trick Pony? How will you know when you've made it? Or do you even
all
think
the
about
way,
that?
Baby?
Do you even think about that stuff?
Got to give 110%, and we give 110%, and got to do good every show.
So when you're doing the jingle for a deodorant commercial, is that what you're saying? That's how you know you've made it? I mean, seriously, though, I mean, do you see yourselves cover of Rolling Stone or well-known indie band with cult following, undying devotion?
I want to play on Saturday Night Live. Even though it sucks, it's horrible.
Why do they always sound so bad on Saturday Night Live? They can take the best band and make them sound bad.
Bad with their bad skits now. They're awful. But like
the show itself is bad. But the sound for the bands always sound awful on that show. I never understood why.
I don't know. I don't know why either. G.E. Smith and the Saturday Night Live band sound good. But
yeah,
they have different sound guys, I guess. But I don't know. I'm joking. But actually, you know, I don't know. I just want to. I don't know. It's a weird like Eastern philosophy thing sounding like thing, but I feel like if you do what you do, you're like, I honestly just want to make great music. I want to make like every song to its fullest expression, like whatever I want it to come out to the best it can be, you know? And like, I just want to make like great fucking albums. And I feel like everything else just kind of like writes itself, you know? Like you do that. I mean, definitely you have to be out there and playing, but that's what I want to do. So it's almost like, yeah, like that is like beyond my control. Like I just want to do what I want to do, which is make great music, play it in front of people, and I think the rest takes care of itself. And like I want as many people as possible to hear it. I guess that's what any like artist wants to do, and that's it. Like, so whatever that means, oh well. I'd like to see the world.
You like to tour,
yeah,
with your band around the world?
Yeah. So I guess that's what I would love to do. So
now Jen, as a member of the band and the manager, you might have a slightly different perspective on what success is.
It's, you know, it's pretty close to Randy. Having a, you know, cult following would definitely be great. There's definitely a rise in a lot of great indie bands out there, that I'd like to have us kind of be at that same level, you know, as far as recognition. And just being known, you know, by anyone around the world, traveling around the world would be awesome. Yeah. So,
when people ask what is One Trick Pony, you know, and you know that you have this like 10-second window before they lose interest, what do you say?
They usually lose interest.
You're like, well, it's a little bit of. I mean, are you able to sort of categorize yourselves, compartmentalize yourselves in a pitch?
It's really hard to describe because, I mean, even, you know, with Josh trying to describe, you know, One Trick Pony to Morgan before he came in, he was in the band. He had difficulty, you know.
He had difficulty. So.
Morgan, how did Josh describe One Trick Pony?
Well, he just kind of did it. Well, it's kind of alternative indie-ish. I don't know, like.
Oh, that's right. Mentioned like Foo Fighters.
But that's like what he knew of, because he's definitely. I called him Arena Rock. That was his nickname, and like he was definitely into like big cock rock, full out. You know, like
He would disagree with you right now, but I know where you're coming from with that.
And Guns N' Roses and stuff. Like he's just like into that. And like,
well, him and I, we did old school Metallica Pantera cover band. Give you an idea. It was just for fun. It was just a rock out. Let's play some good old school metal kind
not
of
that
thing.
He had bad taste. No, yeah. I mean, we agreed. Obviously, he liked the band. I mean, but like, what's alternative to him was not alternative to me.
I just look, when people ask me about One Trick Pony, I just look straight at them and I'm like, dude, it's just good music. I give you my word, it's just really good music.
Believe me.
I mean, I know people that's kind of like, you know, like, I don't know, kind of general, but I just, it's good music, and I just think I have good taste in music. That's kind of chauvinistic, but I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's good music. I just tell people it's good music. It's good vibes. It's different. You'll like it.
Well, listen, before we run out of time, I want to get one more song out of you. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
I mean, there's just so many different genres that we play. I mean, you know, and because we all have different influences, blues, bossa nova, you know, indie, you know, indie rock, and singer-songwriter, that, you know, it's just kind of everything all into band.
So. I played a CD that was submitted to Kill Radio the other day to the Monday submission show, and it had a label on it, like a post-it note, and it said, Primitive Black Death Sludge Metal.
Nice.
So I think that's what you guys should start calling yourselves.
Awesome. Wait, I did. Me and the old or Charlene is our great friend, and she plays violin. She used to be in the band, but she still plays with us. She'll be at the show.
Oh, awesome.
But like we classified ourselves as schmaltz rock. mope rock or schmaltz rock. Mope schmaltz. Mope schmaltz rock, I think.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's what we are.
Another one I've heard is Wimpy Core. I know Bannon describes himself as Wimpy Core.
Wimpy Core. We could do that too.
All right. So this is we'll sign off with this one. What are you going to play for us?
Fox song.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is One Trick Pony.
Oh, my hands are cold. All right.
I push the boat into the sea. It's only fair that it be me. I'm a rower, rower, rower. I look in deep over the side into the black rolling eyes, and they're lower, lower, lower. He has been robbed of his desire. Here comes the blood, chimneys of fire, and it's over, over, over. Got complaints, I've got the time, they've got the phone, it's your dime. I'm a shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. No more regrets, no more guilt, all bayonets pushed to the hilt. We're all soldiers, soldiers, soldiers. It's 5:58, early morn. My heroes are dead, but I'm reborn. And I'm over, over, overjoyed. And no one can reach. No one can reach me. No one can reach me where I've gone. Far behind those ivy strangled walls. And for now, you're the ivy. No one can reach me.
You've been listening to a special Sunday edition of Is Good on killradio.org. My guest was One Trick Pony. You can check them out, myspace.com/onetrickpony. And, of course, check them out live at the Echo this Thursday. It's part of the Central Second Collective killradio.org fundraiser concert. That's this January 18th at the Echo, 1822 West Sunset Boulevard, 18 and over, $5 cover. For more information on the collective, you can go to myspace.com/thecentralsecond. Guys, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
That's what the show is all about. So come back, tune in on Thursday morning for another edition of Is Good, and drop by isgoodmusic.com sometime tomorrow. I should have this available for download. Stay tuned to killradio.org.